Open up the Bible, Matthew chapter 14. I've been getting a lot of raised eyebrows over the sermon title, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. But let's go to Matthew chapter 14 at the 13th verse. And because I'm feeling like it, because I want to, and I think it's pretty cool, let us stand if you're able to read God's Word. Matthew chapter 14, starting in the 13th verse. When Jesus heard what had happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed Him on foot from the town. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to Him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes," they answered. "Bring them here to me," He said. And He directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then He gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls. Broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Set aside our labor that we may absorb Your message. Let this please come from You. Let this be strengthening to us. Let it be an opportunity to radiate our Christian love as we leave here today, to those around us who may see Christ within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Come, eat, and fellowship. Somebody said you're 2 weeks too late. I said, "Emma, we've been away for a couple of days. I got to a point where I just needed a break. I just had to take a little time. And I wanted to do something that I haven't done in 4 years." And so for the past couple days, on Thursday evening, me and the boys struck out on our own with no motherly guidance. We moved a camper down to Berryville, Virginia, my old camper. You have been up to the house. You know my camper's name by its moniker, the Nut Hut. Actually, it's the Mobile Nut Hut. We moved it down to Berryville, Virginia, down to the showgrounds, and I took down some gas engines and some stuff, and I attended the tractor show that I hadn't been to in 4 years. And it was good. But see, there's a little backstory to it. There's a family there that I've known for years, and I showed at that show every year for years on end, and I camped with this family. The head of the family is the president of the show, and they have a little campsite there, and everybody works together to feed and clean up, and we go and come, and there's always something there. But I hadn't been there in 4 years, because to be perfectly honest, the last time I was there was just before God struck me down. Just before I got taken away from this high position and given this new one to humble me. And I hadn't even set foot on that grounds in 4 years, a place I would spend 4 days at, showing steam engines and tractors and being around people. I was ashamed still, and I was embarrassed, but I decided it's time to go back. And so I called the lady of the family, and I said to her, "I'd like to come home. Is there room? I'd like to come back to my second home." And her response was, "Why are you even asking? You're welcome here." I said, "Well, there'll be plenty of food." She goes, "Don't you know there will? Come and eat and be back at home. Fellowship." That was the answer. That was the moment. The funny thing was, I had just finished reading that scripture when I called her. Come, eat, and fellowship. We look at this, and I knew the sermon was coming on from that moment. And I do a lot of sermons that I've been told are pretty hard and pretty stern and keep us on the path of work. And it always seems like that's what I'm pounding about, but not today. Today we rest. Today we remember a few things. Today we look at the word fellowship and what Jesus did right here in this simple story, in this great miracle. And make no mistakes about it, if you don't think it was a miracle, every time when I come home, we buy these specific crackers. And I don't know if you like them or not. They're called chicken and a biscuits. Y'all ever eat them? Oh, yeah. We get them crackers. They ought to put them on a shelf under lock and key. Now, I'll see them crackers and I'll be like, man, and I bought a box of them. Brought them home, stuck them in the pantry, hid them behind everything I could think of. About a week goes by, chicken and a biscuit boy, I was driving home. I said, man, I'm going to have me. I come home, I go and I find that box. There's two left. They actually had the nerve to leave two in there. And I looked in that box and I said, boy, if this was time for a miracle. Didn't happen. I ate the two chicken and the biscuits and decided from now on I'm going to hide them down in the shop. But this was a miracle. Five loaves of bread, two fish. You go back and you read the other gospel accounts of it, and they really get detailed to the point where they kept coming back to Jesus to receive more. That's a beautiful image. When I was reading this, I looked through the lectionary and I said, you know, I need to understand something here. And a writer for the lectionary said that when we look at the Bible, when we read these verses, when we look at these gospels, do you know what we're really getting? The images of Jesus Christ. They kept coming back. Come, eat, and fellowship. Now I know sometimes, excuse me, the meaning of fellowship gets lost a little bit here in this day and age. What is meant by fellowship in these verses? Gossip, cups of tea, tours, no. What is being referred to as something so different. In fellowship in the time of the Bible, even so much as in Acts chapter 2, it says they met constantly to hear the apostles teach and to share the common life and break bread and pray. A sense of awe was everywhere. All whose faith had been drawn together held everything in common with one mind. They kept up their daily attendance in the temple and breaking bread in private houses, shared their meals with unaffected joy as they praised God. That fellowship, as the New Testament understands it, it's more than just a social activity. James Packer was writing these words from his book, Your Father Loves You. Fellowship. J.D. Morris went on a little further. He said, as Christians, we are called to give, 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 give. How many times do you hear me standing up here begging you, please come to the rescue mission. To give. Not money. Not anything else except your radiance as a child of Christ. You have no idea the effect that that fellowship gives. We're called constantly to give here and give here. And quite honestly, we get tired because we are not perfect. But on that day where the Bible says 5,000 men, besides the women and children, you know the Jewish custom in public, men ate first, women and children ate later together. But they kept coming back to him and getting more. And it did not stop until they were satisfied. That's what the Bible says. They all ate and were satisfied, and there was still left over. That is a beautiful image of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is a beautiful image of fellowship when you think about that. As much as you want from Christ, as much as you could go to Him and take, as much as you could draw in, even when you're done, He still has more left to give. Praise the Lord. I love that. And you know what? I'm not very smart. I'll tell you that all the time. And when I read this and I read the lectionary said, try this verse for this Sunday, I was like, really? Jesus feeds the 5,000? Really? And I sat down and read it and I went, oh, wow. What an image, Jonathan. Wasn't that great? Don't you love it when the Bible hits you like that? I saw this image again. Just keep coming back. J.D. Moore says, nowhere in the New Testament do any of the Greek words translated fellowship imply fun times. Rather, they talk of, for example, the fellowship of ministering to the saints in Corinthians as sacrificial service and financial aid. It's in Timothy. Elsewhere, Paul was thankful to the Philippian believers' fellowship in the gospel. For he knew that inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers, which is the same word as fellowship, of my grace. That comes from Philippians chapter 1. This sort of fellowship may even bring persecution. And we heard about it a couple weeks ago when we heard of ministers going into villages and being killed, bringing forth a message of peace. At first, I felt kind of bad for them. And you know, I was sitting talking to Charles, and we were discussing that. 30 of them have been killed. And yes, you have a bit of tenderness about you and a bit of remorse. But I was sitting talking to Charles, and I looked at him, and he said, but they got to go to glory. You're right. Maybe not at the time they wanted, but they got to go. And now they're in fellowship in heaven. I'm going to be talking about that to him tomorrow night when we have dinner with him. And I'm really looking forward to that. J.D. goes on to write, we are to emulate Christ's humility and self-sacrificial love through the fellowship of the Spirit. In some way known only partially to us, we have the privilege of knowing that the fellowship of His sufferings, being made comfortable unto His death, and even the communion of the blood and body of Christ. I picture that scene. Can you just see it? Waves of people. We're probably not even sure, but if you had to hazard a guess at it, maybe 15,000. Because 5,000 men, plus their women and children. Who knows? And they kept coming back to Him. They kept coming on back. We stop and we take a look at this scripture again, starting in the 13th verse, and you see that there's a little lead in there. When Jesus heard what happened, He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. What we learn is, if you back up a little bit, He had just learned of the beheading of John the Baptist. And it touched Him. And His grief was going to be great. And He set off about that time to find some time to pray and to be, in that grief. But the crowds knew that there was something to Him. They had already seen what He was doing. He had already been out there talking parables and doing healing. And the Bible goes on to say, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had what on them? Compassion. Compassion. And healed their sick. He set them about rest for this time of fellowship. He had compassion on them. How many times has the phone rang just as you picked up your fork at supper time and somebody wants to talk to you? Don't tell me it ain't never happened. When I first became a preacher, about the first month in, I got a lot of those pick up the fork phone calls. And I started thinking, now wait a minute. I got to eat. Yeah, I got to eat. But my dad said to me, he said, son, You are there for them. So when the phone rings and somebody says, hey, are you about ready to eat? Yeah, but don't worry about that. That's what I make microwaves for. Jesus Christ could have drawn off. He could have told the disciples, hold them back until I'm ready. But he didn't. He just walked back out into it and told them, sit down. I'll minister to you. Sit down. I have more to give. Sit down. Come eat and fellowship. Sit down. I have compassion on you. And he went about through a crowd of 5,000 healing their sick. And of course the disciples are looking at him. We read on. Hey man, we are miles away from town and there is no McDonald's anywhere. What are we going to do? Send them back into town. Lord, we'll send them back in there and have them pick up food and find some place to stay. And God said, Jesus said, no. Bring me what you have. Some of the accounts of the Gospels even go so far as to say he was trying to test Philip when he said unto them, how much money will it take? And Philip said, it'll take 8 months worth of wages, because he lost his sight for a minute. He lost the understanding of Christ for a minute. Even watching him do those, he didn't quite get it yet, that he needed to learn that Christ has everything we need. Come, eat, and fellowship. But here in Matthew's Gospel, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them to me. And if you ever think that you shouldn't even so much as pull a Twinkie out of its wrapper without saying thanks to him, it's laid out right there. He broke them. He looked in the sky and he gave thanks. And then he fed. Say grace at supper. Say grace at dinner. Say grace at breakfast. Say grace if you're going down the road and you happen to see peaches sitting alongside the road and you suddenly have this desire for them. And you buy a couple of them. And you're about to bite into that. Wait a minute. Say a little grace. Thank you, Father, for this peach. I do. That peach in my hand came from him. I still giggle. I still laugh about that movie Shenandoah. We all know how I feel about it. When old man Jimmy Stewart playing the old man is called to say the grace. Y'all seen that movie? Some of you have. You ever seen that movie? When he sits down to say the grace at the table and he's about ready to rip into the food and the one daughter says, Papa, what? Say grace. The grace he said went something like this. Well, Lord, I bought this ground. I cleared this ground. I pulled the stumps out of this ground. I plowed this ground. I cultivated this ground. I planted the seed into the ground. I fertilized this ground. I gathered what growed out of this ground. But I'm sure you had a hand in it somewhere, so thank you. Jesus broke the bread, looked up in heaven and said, thank you. Over something so meager. 5 little old loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's a light snack. And they kept coming back. I love the other gospel where it says they came back and he continued to give to them. And they all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And during this time, they fellowship. In my notes here, it says, next talk about our time's fellowship. And I know where this is coming from. You want to know what? When we have those meals downstairs, I eavesdrop on you all. You may think I'm deaf. And I am. That's why I might be sitting so close to you all of a sudden. But I'm listening to what you're talking about. And inevitably, some point during the conversation, I hear Christ's name. I hear a momentary passing talk about the Bible or the church or the sermon or the meal or the thankfulness. That our fellowship here is not just about, I got to go home and cut the grass or whatever else. The car's not running right. That's all part of it, but we fellowship as in the gospel of Christ, as in together, as he would have us do. And I'm telling you, if you can see that image in your mind of 5,000 men and the women and children all sitting on that mountain, fellowshipping, they were together and they were at rest. And when I decided I wanted to go back to that show, I was told, come eat and fellowship. And brothers and sisters, for the past 3 days, that is what I have done. And my soul has been renewed because there was more to give. And that's what Jesus showed us here in that image. If you come to me for rest and fellowship, I will feed you not just food, but bread of life. And your soul will be renewed. And you can come again and again and again. Amen. That's the fellowship. And it has nothing to do with food. It has to do with the bread of life. Jesus Christ. I heard a guy say to me one time, he goes, "Hey, preacher over at our church, he talks about Jesus too many times." What? Well, every Sunday he's got to say something about Jesus Christ and salvation. I want to hear some Old Testament stuff. I said, I have to walk away from you because I don't even know how to answer a question like that. How do you do anything, take one step, breathe one brush? How do you brush your teeth in the morning without thinking of Christ and what you got when you came to Him hungry, when you walked into Him broken? You were hungry, and I'm not talking about for food. When He fed you and when He fellowshipped with you and when He said, there's more. Come, eat, fellowship. Perhaps I should have changed the name of this sermon. I don't think so. Maybe I should have said, this is why I go to church on Sunday. Or patience is needed, because if you continue to read and reread and read that story, you see that the disciples were not exactly patient until they saw the miracle. But when you look at this, you see the deeper meaning. That's why Jesus came to be with us, so He could experience us, so He could show Himself to us, so He could show us what is out there, so that He could be within us, so that He could experience everything, including the temptations and the rot and the pain and everything that goes with it. And He also taught us, brothers and sisters, my sons and daughters, it's okay to rest. Come, eat, and fellowship. That's how we should be as Christians. It's the funniest thing. When Ellis was praying for me this morning, he used a term I have never heard him use. And I told him right then, and you all didn't realize it, I'm going to tell you the truth now. I said, I'm going to steal that little statement from you, and I'm going to start using it. And he said, okay. You come eat in fellowship, you walk away radiating Christ to all those around you. Ellis said this morning in his prayer, may we be radiant. May we radiate the works of Christ within us to those around us. I love that statement. And so as we fellowship, we gain that power. As we grow, we gain that ability. And that's our job. That's where we're at. That's what gives us a moment to rest in His arms safely. Come, eat, fellowship, be satisfied, be renewed, be strengthened. Pray with me. Within us, Father, grow. Within our heart, Jesus, grow. Until we truly do radiate. We come to You not seeking to be fed of this physical food of this world. We come to You to eat from You that gives us the daily bread. That we may fellowship in Your presence and realize that fellowship is not always fun. There will be times when You direct us to fellowship over the loss of a loved one, over situations in which we'll be persecuted and riddled and ridiculed and beaten. You've asked us to go forth in fellowship even in places where our very lives are at stake. But here today in this word, in this moment, in this scripture, You've taught us to rest and strengthen. Rest and renew. Rest and rebond. You've taught us to come to You, eat, and fellowship. You've given us that image. And I ask that for each and every one of us here, Father, you paint it on our hearts as we leave, that image of as much as we come to Christ, He will always have more. And we will be satisfied. Lead us, Father, in the time that is to come, and strengthen us. And thank you for teaching us this simple truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If there is on your heart that particular need this morning, if there is that strengthening, and I do urge you that as we approach the end of this month, I know of one baptism, I'll be in the water, I'll have room for plenty more. Be thinking about that. But if there is something on your heart today, if there is a pressing down upon you, if you are white-knuckling the bench over something, let go of it and come forward for that prayer. He waits for you.
Please stand and turn to page 79.
My brothers and sisters, my family, I give unto you grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. I pray that in the week to come, He upholds you in all things, all trials and all tribulations, and ask blessings down upon you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.